Welcome to the Art Talk podcast, where I discuss the stories that help us accomplish to be better artists as well as better art entrepreneurs. I am Karin Merks, your host, and I'm artist, art entrepreneur, and art coach or teacher. This is Art Talk episode 60, and today I have a conversation with artist Jessica Sheenan. Jessica Sheenan is an artist born in Australia, living in London, who paints portraits, still lifes, and animals. Welcome, Jessica. I'm really thrilled to have you as my guest in Art
Talk. So excited to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
You're welcome. So you started your art life, I say art life because it's a way of living, after a life scare. And at what point did you decide it was important for you to take up lessons?
Yeah, so I guess in the interest of full disclosure, I had been sort of dabbling with drawing and painting for years since my parents bought me a little anatomy book when I was about 10. The first course I ever took was a street art course, actually, in my early 20s, when we learned to make stencils and screen prints, which was super fun. But I never really did anything with it. I was focused on finishing university and finding a quote-unquote day job. And that sort of took priority, and all my energy went into that. And while I would still draw and paint here or there, I would like almost consciously deprioritize it behind everything else. I was studying law as well as working full time, and I was like, "Oh, this art thing, it can wait." But as you know, when you sort of have that kind of calling to create, it never really goes away. So when in 2013, I had a bit of a health scare. Basically, I had quite a significant brain hemorrhage, and without going into too many of the details, because it's a happy ending. I'm here speaking with you today. I was conscious during the whole thing and kind of knew what was happening to me, and I fully knew what the risks were. It was a surreal experience I wouldn't wish on anyone. But in those first 72 hours in particular, they wouldn't let me sleep because I had to sort of monitor how my brain was going. They were getting ready to sort of go in and potentially be more invasive surgery. I was very lucky that I avoided that. But it just meant that I spent a lot of time and just lying there. And my dad actually bought me some coloring in books at the time. And you know what? Like, despite everything else going on and all the pain that, you know, I was in, I was so worried that I had lost my ability to draw. Like, that was just something that was just there going, you know, yeah, there's so much going on, but oh my gosh, I hope I can still draw. I hope I can still, you know, do this coloring in. I got out of bed as soon as I was allowed to, and I was sort of, you know, in that, doing those coloring in books. So I guess until that point, I hadn't really appreciated how important art was to me. All the other stuff was less important. And then I guess it played an important role in my rehabilitation. Reading and talking tired me out. It still kind of does. So I'd read like comic books because I could look at the pictures. And whilst I could still draw, actually, drawing a straight line was quite challenging because it felt like my brain was kind of competing with itself. It was a weird feeling. So I would draw these quite like drawings with a lot of outlines, kind of inspired by tattoo arcs. I think there was a lot of like reality TV shows with tattoos and whatnot on TV that I was watching. So just replicating kind of designs that I saw to kind of help my brain sort of heal. I did that for a few months. And then once I was confident to be out in public again, I was back at work part-time. I enrolled in a local art school in North Sydney, where I was living at the time, got introduced to oil paints, and it went from there, really. So yeah, it was a bit of a journey, but I really found out through that process how important art was to me, how important just the act of creation was to me.
You are so right. You know, I'm just reading a book, Your Brain on Art.
Oh.
And in there is a lot about mental health, illnesses. I read this book, from Ian McGilchrist, The Master in His Misery, and he also talks, and I heard him say this, when people have mental health, they're actually even labeled, I would say, schizophrenic. Just doing things with their hands actually is healing. Mm. And in the book, Your Brain on Art, they say doing art, no matter what, can be dancing, singing, playing an instrument, coloring in, that really is transformative for your brain and your neurology. Yeah.
Yeah, I find it so, it's such a, not always, but more often than not, it's a meditative escape. And do you find that in your practice? Do you sort of enter that sort of realm of just blocking everything else out and working from there?
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah, it is. And yet there is so, and that's what you see so much lately, you know, people use it for healing. So that's how they use art. But there's a difference between having the actual skills and doing the art, being the artist, having that as a true skill.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference.
That's certainly something that you work on continually, and I think I'll always be working on it.
Yeah. And even if you... I just received a newsletter from the Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam, and you can click through the images where they started. Oh my God, they worked so freaking hard. Never think that it came on a whim with someone like Rembrandt, for instance. Mm. They worked so freaking hard. You can see sketches, you can see it going into paint and even material. But yeah, it's... art is healing, absolutely, yeah. And you paint contemporary portraits. I always love this word, contemporary. I always say, she is my contemporary, or Caravaggio was a contemporary of Rembrandt. I never say, I am a contemporary portrait artist. But you say, you paint contemporary portraits. So can you explain me, particularly, what you mean by that?
Yeah, I guess contemporary to me. I mean, I think with art, we're at this unique period in history where we're seeing such a progression of art styles and different movements and introduction of different materials and innovation in art thought and application. And we have access to so much on a global level, and I'm endlessly grateful for that. So for instance, you know, I was at the Kunsthaus in Zurich last week. And in the same building, you've got Rembrandt, Jan Bruegel the Elder, to Andy Warhol, Jackson Pollock, and contemporary installation pieces, and literally everyone in between. Lots of impressionist painters in that particular museum too. So I think contemporary for me is kind of like looking out at this sea of like of art and distilling down to how do I put all my influences, how do I put my sort of... reflect all these amazing things that I've seen on the canvas or the paper. So, you know, for portraits, the painting a portrait is capturing like the character, the essence of the person, as well as the likeness. And then you use whatever tools at your disposal, your particular lineage or style to do that. So I'm obviously heavily influenced by the academic tradition. But if the mood of the piece suggests breaking away in some areas to produce a more interesting or joyful composition based on a color that I've seen or a technique that I've seen in a museum, then I'll do that. There's just so much out there to play with. And it's tremendously exciting.
Yeah, it really sounds interesting, because you saying that, if I look at a portrait I have next to me of Ella and other portraits I did, but that was for a project, and I deliberately chose to... They're based on academic, because I'm trained like that, but I used colors to not focus on one thing, and that was the skin color as such. So, and I used all the LGBTQI+ colors to emphasize that. Ella, I used because she's on stage and she is performing. And there was no color, because this is a video frame out of video 1968. But I wanted to capture exactly that moment where all my senses say, here, she's one with the music. So you think I could say that's contemporary because I use the classical way of painting, only I add colors to it to tell a story in a different way.
I feel like it is. I mean, yeah, because you're sort of you're reacting to the world around you. You're not just sort of saying, okay, I'm going to be painting academic 19th century French portraits right now. I'm going to be, yes, using my influence in that, but then sort of mixing it up with all those different elements. I love that picture of yours, by the way. It's so dynamic.
Which one is that?
The Ella Fitzgerald.
Oh, the Ella. Yeah.
It's really lovely.
Thank you. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's so, you know, it's so, I asked this really out of interest because the word contemporary, as I said, gave me another sense of what you mean or describe. But it makes, yeah, it's obvious when you say that. And also, we are here now.
Yeah, we're here and now. So
we can't be Sargent. We can't be Rembrandt. Yeah. We can only learn from them. And don't forget that skill and bring that forward, but then make it into something that also fits our world at this moment or how we perceive it, maybe.
Absolutely. I mean, I aspire to, yes, certainly learn from the masters and learn from contemporary teachers, but then I aspire just to create something new with my work. I don't know what exactly that is. It's contemporary portraits is how I've described it, but yeah, it's the possibilities are out there.
Yeah, exactly. Lovely. Learned again. yeah, you paint portraits, still lives and animals. So what is your most famous, or not famous, your most favorite topic and why?
Oh, you're making me choose. I mean, as much as I love birds, you know, birds, I described to a friend of mine recently is that amazing combination between, you know, dinosaurs and fairies, and then you have a bird, really. But I think people portraits at the end of the day, like, I think my reasons for that, I guess, maybe the most personal practical reasons, one of the implications of the brain hemorrhage was that I lost the ability to recognize faces. Well, I would see people, but I'd remember them in a different way. It's like, I remember being at a board meeting soon after I got back to work and sort of saying, okay, well, everyone looks a bit different to me. I just remember that guy was that guy because he had brown hair and a smiley face. And so I had to sort of really observe people to be able to recognize them. And so I guess that's where probably the genesis of my interest in portrait painting begins, because ultimately painting begins with observation and really kind of studying somebody. And I guess from there, you know, I traveled around a lot more, and I think just people are just infinitely interesting. Everybody has a story. Even myself as an introvert, I love meeting people. Sort of people are full of complexity and contradictions, and showing that bit of the character through a person in a portrait is the ultimate challenge, but it's so rewarding. And I also love seeing how other portrait artists approach their subject too, because I think inevitably we bring a bit of ourselves into the painting when we do it, because we obviously see something that connects with us in the sitter. And I love seeing how that plays out amongst different artists. So, yeah, so people portraits is my favorite.
Yeah, it's how did this help you, by the way? I try to visualize how that is. I look at some, because I'm a total visual thinker. I have difficulty remembering names and numbers, but I can see someone, oh, yeah, and I can see it. And I can even, if I want to, make a quick sketch out of memory. But I can sit here, like this morning I talked with someone about a photographer who was a real good photographer because he knew how to draw. He doesn't scalp people. He puts them in total on the canvas and he made beautiful. And that was Henri Cartier-Bresson. It took me ages to think about. But I see the pictures that he took. I see those photo. So I try to feel how that is, that you sit somewhere and you know, well, that was that guy with brown hair and he smiled. How did